Hey friends, here we are on episode 32 of James for You. It's the end of our week here as we have been studying chapter 8 of the book James for You. And we are in the book of James in the Bible. Now in this chapter, it has combined the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 of the book of James in the Bible. And we have been focusing a lot so far this week on the importance of giving our time to God and honoring Him with that. And I've included the words time, talent, and treasure throughout the week because I think it's important for us to focus on that in everything, in all of those areas. But now as we take this turn into chapter 5, we're going to be more focused on money, on people and money. So listen here, I'm reading verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasures in the last days. Look, the pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of armies. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous. Who does not resist you? Wow. I mean, it's pretty heavy talk, right? So why is James bringing this up? Because we have this book full of good, straight from the hip talk, but this sort of seems like it shifts into almost a forceful, angry position. And the reason that is that commentary notes, well, and actually the book, James for You notes, that this is not James talking directly to the believers in the church. The passage is actually directed towards the non-believing rich. Now, it's believed that he does this to show the separation or the condemnation that is associated with the love of money. And again, this goes back to the root issue, which is the heart. So especially if you have a group of people who are not surrendered to Christ at all, their total goal is money. And so who are in the church, it's not that we're better than those people. I mean, I think we need to get this drilled into our skull. You're not better than anybody. All of us are wretched by nature, but there are some of us who have chosen better things, and that is in Christ. We have chosen a righteous King, one who is alive, one that will be able to, has already done what is necessary to save our souls. And so it's important for us to actually have compassion. You know, talking about that, how the Lord has changed me and given me perspective and compassion through this obstacle that I've been in my life recently. And I believe that He offers all of us these obstacles and sometimes tragedies that gives us perspective and great compassion for those who are bound in some type of sin. And so James is saying to these unbelieving or non-believing rich, he's talking heavy talk, but it's also encouraging the congregation not to be jealous. It's giving them that perspective. And I believe if we put our jealousy into a place of submission with the Lord, then we can move outside of our sin and have that compassion that I'm talking about. So James brings up three things that we should check our hearts against in this thing. He's talking to the non-believing rich, but anytime we have the scripture that's saying something direct to any group of people, we of course need to learn the context of that, but then we need to do personal application. And so these three things are important. So we start out with hoarding. In verses 2 and 3, he says, "Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." So simply put, he says, are you hoarding money or things while there are others in need? I mean, think about that. I think this is a hot topic for some people, or maybe a sore subject, whichever way you want to say it. We talk so much in America about saving for retirement, which I don't think that's bad. I think we need to save for retirement. We also need to provide for our family, leave legacy. And I think a financial legacy is helpful. It's not the salvation of those coming after you, but it's helpful for them. Scripture is very clear about us leaving things for those who come behind us to take care of them. That's just special because we love them. We love God and we love them. That's what we do. But at the same time, we can be saving up for, our Florida trips and our ski-doos and boats and things that are fun and fine. But if that's all you're doing and not serving others, then you may be missing out on, first of all, obedience in Christ. But then you may also be missing out on a great blessing from Him. You know, there's an author or speaker, pastor, John Piper, talks about retirement in such a way where he says, we are playing shuffleboard into the arms of King Jesus while others are suffering in our country, going without food and health care. And that's one of those statements that, like, some people could turn off. Oh, he's just over spiritualizing a matter. No, he's not. We have made great plans to do things for ourselves and zero plans to care for other people. So you know your place with that. And if the Lord has already dealt with you and you're honoring Him, then good. But if you in this moment hear this message and you think, she's getting crazy, he's crazy, or whatever. No, stop and ask the Lord if that does apply to you. He'll show you, and it may not. He may show you where you're actually doing it and don't even realize it. And that's really beautiful. When you're doing a work, He's doing a work through you that you don't even realize is being done, but He also may show you that there's some work to be done. So just consider that. Also, next, extravagance. This is another one of those things we need to check our heart on. It says in verse 5, you have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. Simply put, do you live a gluttonous life? And I'm not just talking about food right there. I'm talking about your lifestyle. Is your lifestyle gluttonous? Friends, we can do so many things. Buy all of, women, we buy makeup, we buy clothes, we buy shoes. I buy a lot of fruit. I buy a lot of things that are health and wellness world. But I really have to check that before the Lord. And am I getting into such a place where I've become extravagant? I've not been a good steward of what God has given me. And also, here's another place, women, listen, are you being submissive to your husband in this area? And if you are not, you will be held accountable for that. And that's a very important thing. And it's not just to make your husband feel like he rules the house. It's to honor God and it's to teach your children. I think we've got to get out of our heads that submission is just somehow to make him feel mightier than you. That's not it at all. True submission, that attitude of I'll go wherever you go, I'll stay wherever you stay, that Ruth and Naomi there in the book of Ruth where she's promising to be faithful to her mother-in-law. I think that's the same thing in a marriage. I will follow you. I will honor you and I will do what's necessary to glorify the Lord in this relationship. I know that's not necessarily a marriage right there, but it is, it's that special. It's special in that way. Okay, injustice. Look, it says in verse 4, look, the wages you fail to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Simply put, are you withholding from paying what is owed? Now, in this context, it's specifically referring to your workers. And if you have workers that you're not paying or not paying properly, then you need to deal with that. That's something that the Lord's asking you to do. But I'm going to add in here, Christians, pay your bills. I know that there was a place in mine and my husband's life where that wasn't a priority. But remember, it's important for us, the scripture is clear on this, that we live lives that where we're not living in debt to other people. And especially if you are just, it's not that you're paying every month, but you're paying the minimum. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about just not paying your bills. There's lots of people who are in that position, and it's not just tacky. It's ungodly. It's disobedient, and we need to deal with that. And I do believe if the Lord, it seems like the Lord has not allowed you to be more successful financially, consider if it's rooted in you not taking care of your bills and your responsibilities in that way. I do believe those things at points are directly linked. Not always. We don't serve a one-for-one God where if you don't do it, he won't do it. Actually, God gives us far more than we deserve. But I do believe that a lot of times what's happening in our world is a direct result of what we're doing in private, specifically with our money. Okay, so also Sam Alberry is challenging us with the question of, are we supporting companies that treat their workers with injustice? He goes on to say in the book, those of us in the comparative wealth of the West need to reflect on our responsibility as consumers, to think about the kinds of companies we're supporting and how they treat their workers in far-flung and impoverished places. Willful ignorance really is no defense. Our purchasing habits might well be furthering forms of injustice, and we have an opportunity to make a difference through the choices that we make. It is incumbent on us to care about such things and to do all we can to support upright companies and avoid those that deliberately hurt and exploit the economically vulnerable. So I love the end here, and I'm wrapping up quickly. I know we're getting heavy on time. But the challenge is to pray this verse in order to change your view and perspective of your own wealth and very possibly the wealth of others. It's Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of God. Y'all, that has to sit with us. Are we grieving the Holy Spirit? Are we honoring our God, or are we dishonoring him? I think it's important for us to note that the world would mock such an ambition and request for God to give us only what we need, but God does not. He loves that. And the scripture is very clear that God lays favor on those who love him. And I believe we can expand upon that by saying, and those who live as though they do. All right, friends, what a great week. Thanks so much for joining in. We'll see you next week.